Hello. Welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today, I would like to read for you a special report on ageism in the workplace. This appeared in the AARP Bulletin, the January-February issue. This article was written for the Bulletin by Joe Keita. It's time to end the last acceptable bias. About 35% of the United States population is now over age 50 or more. Yet, in 2018, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the nation's workforce watchdog, issued a damning special report on age discrimination against older Americans. It concluded that even though 50 years had passed since Congress outlawed the practice, age discrimination remains a significant and costly problem for workers, their families, and our economy. Victoria Lipnick, the EEOC's acting chairperson at the time, went so far as to compare it to harassment. "Everyone knows it happens every day to workers in all kinds of jobs," she says, "but few speak up. It's an open secret." That same year, an AARP survey found that about 3 out of 5 older workers have seen or experienced age discrimination in their workplace. Also, 76% of those workers see age discrimination as a hurdle to finding a new job. Another report found that more than half of older workers are prematurely pushed out of jobs, and 90% never earn as much again. Diane Huth's story is a prime example of this bias. "I'm 69 years old and have worked in corporate America for more than 40 years with big name companies in branding," says Huth, who lives in San Antonio. "But nobody takes me seriously for a job at my age now, even in things I had excelled at." Paradoxically, most companies do not seem to understand that older workers possess a depth of skills and knowledge that's worth paying for. People walk out of companies now with an enormous amount of intellectual property in their heads, says Paul Rupert, the founder and CEO of Respectful Exits, a nonprofit consulting firm that's raising awareness about age discrimination. "They know things that are essential in the company's success, and if that knowledge is not captured, that company is losing a tremendous chunk of capital." So how did we get to this point, and how can we combat such widespread discrimination? To answer these questions, the AARP Bulletin set out to examine workplace ageism from all angles, and here's what we learned. An accepted bias. If you haven't felt the pinch of ageism yet, experts say you probably will. Age discrimination is so pervasive that people don't even recognize it's illegal, says Kristen Alden, an attorney specializing in employment rights for the Alden Law Group in Washington, D.C. Like other biases and discriminatory practices, ageism takes many forms. In the workplace, it appears in 3 main areas. In recruiting and hiring, first, when younger applicants are shown favor simply due to their age. Second, on-the-job bias, when older workers get fewer training opportunities, promotions, or rewards, or are harassed. And third, termination, when a company freshens its workforce or trims its budget by targeting senior employees. Rupert of Respectful Exits suggests that the problem emanates from our roots in free enterprise. The predominant U.S. business model is still an industrial one in which employees are seen as human capital, he says. Companies view their workforce the same way they view capital equipment. You buy it, you assume it has a certain shelf life, then you replace it with a new model. Stories like this are typical. "When a couple of people I cared about experienced ageism, my reaction was, 'I'm not going to let this happen to me,'" says Patty Temple Rocks, who spent 38 years in communications and is the author of I'm Not Done, a book about ageism at work. But when it happened to me, I realized everything I had been thinking was wrong. I was still on my game, but was being moved into a non-essential role to make room for someone younger. I learned to structure my resume in ways so it's not obvious how old I am, says an engineering executive who was in his late 50s, who asked to remain anonymous. I would get calls. The phone screens would go really well, but when I went in for an interview, I never heard back or be told someone else got the job. Eventually, I realized that what they were thinking when I walked in, this guy isn't a spring chicken. These tales are easy to find. Between 1997 and 2018, approximately 423,000 U.S. workers filed age discrimination claims with the EEOC. That is roughly 19,200 per year and 22% of all workplace discrimination claims. But an AARP survey found that only 3% of older employees have ever made a formal complaint of age discrimination to a government agency or someone in their workplace. There are probably hundreds of thousands more who simply accept the situation. Flawed laws. One reason ageism remains an issue, we live in a youth-obsessed world that spent an estimated $53 billion on anti-aging goods and services in 2019. So is it any wonder that our resistance to growing old is shared by the companies that employ us? Meanwhile, the rise of technologies that didn't even exist until many older people were already well into their careers has led to hiring biases in which many organizations assume, often wrongly, that younger workers will be more tech-savvy. Dwarfing these societal factors, however, is the fact that the nation's key federal law, the Age Discrimination in Employment Act of 1967, the ADEA, was essentially defanged by the U.S. Supreme Court in 2009. It never was the strongest law. Two key factors made the ADEA weaker than anti-discrimination laws dealing with race, color, religion, sex, and national origin that were passed under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Lack of damages. Even if you win an age discrimination suit against an employer, and even if you can prove the discrimination was intentional, the most you can be awarded is twice your lost back pay, plus attorney fees. So, unless a company is facing a large class action lawsuit, it has little to lose with you. In fact, many attorneys won't even take on individual age bias complaints for this reason. Reasonable factors are considered a fair defense. The ADEA established two types of age discrimination: intentional disparate treatment and unintentional disparate impact. The law permits disparate impact discrimination if it is based on reasonable factors other than age. So all a company needs to do is to sidestep ageism claims is to prove its action was financially necessary. Although imperfect, the ADEA did afford older employees in the U.S. basic protections against age discrimination. But then the law came under review by the Supreme Court. In 1993, it ruled that the Hazen Paper Company did not discriminate against 62-year-old Walter Biggins when it fired him a few months before he became vested in its pension plan. The company argued that his dismissal was based on cost savings, not age, and the court agreed. Since that time, this decision has been relied on to narrow the ADEA's reach. Then, in 2009, came Gross versus the FBL Financial Services Incorporated. Jack Gross, then 54, was reassigned in 2003 from his position as a claims administration director with FBL. His replacement was in her early 40s. The following year, he sued for age discrimination, and the case ended up before the Supreme Court. The court ruled that in order to prove age discrimination, one must show that age was the determining factor. In other words, even if you prove that your employer intentionally discriminated against you, if age was not the most important factor in the actions it took, you do not have a case. In addition, the Gross decision placed the burden of proof entirely on the plaintiff to prove discrimination, as opposed to putting the burden on the organization to prove it did not discriminate. Rulings like these have not escaped the attention of corporate America. One Wall Street recruiter told the AARP Bulletin that age discrimination is increasing in the financial sector. If companies know they can get away with something, they'll do it, he says. AARP Foundation, which files age discrimination suits expected to establish significant legal precedents, is currently pursuing a case against PricewaterhouseCoopers, the accounting firm. The plaintiff, Steve Rabin, then 50, was rebuffed in his effort to obtain an associate position at PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers. At the time, he had an MBA and more than 10 years of experience in accounting services. The complaint asserts that a PwC manager asked Rabin whether he'd be able to fit in with younger employees and made other somewhat derogatory age-related comments. More than 3,000 other plaintiffs have joined the class action lawsuit. The company denies any wrongdoing, arguing that the plaintiffs have failed to offer some reliable and verifiable way to identify who met the minimum qualifications, unquote. It should be noted that most states have their own laws against age discrimination. Some are stronger than federal law, some are weaker. California, for example, unlike the ADEA, allows for both compensatory and punitive damages, while New Jersey explicitly permits employment discrimination against employees over age 70. The former may be why, in some years, California has seen nearly three times as many complaints of age discrimination as its residents report to the EEOC. AARP is actively trying to improve state age discrimination laws, most recently in Connecticut, Oregon, and New Jersey. Although several states have recently passed laws requiring employers to provide annual sexual harassment training, there is no similar legislation or mandated program that exclusively targets ageism, notes Frank Kania, who is president of HR Compliance Experts. The average HR person would say, "Oh yeah, that's definitely a problem. It needs to be addressed," he explains. But then they may place a job ad using terms like energetic technology ninja or we work hard and party harder. Unsurprisingly, tech companies are some of the biggest culprits, with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg famously declaring in 2007 that young people are just smarter. Silicon Valley has become a poster child for the youth work culture. According to a 2016 report by Statista, the average median employee age at 17 top tech companies was 32, compared with 42 for the U.S. total workforce. It's probably no coincidence that in 2019, Google agreed to pay $11 million to settle the claims of more than 200 job applicants who said they were discriminated against because of their age. Older tech companies are not immune to the problem. A 2018 ProPublica investigation alleges that IBM deliberately engineered the dismissal of an estimated 20,000 employees over age 40 in a five-year period. The EEOC is looking into the situation now, and a class action suit has been filed. But one workplace consultant told the AARP Bulletin that IBM supervisors and attorneys were acutely aware of how difficult it is to successfully prosecute age discrimination, and they took full advantage of that. Last year, in response to lawsuits, IBM told Bloomberg, "We have reinvented IBM in the past 5 years to target higher value opportunities for our clients." The company hires 50,000 employees each year. The EEOC is supposed to be our police force in all of this. Its job is to enforce federal laws that protect employees or job applicants from all types of workplace discrimination. It is also charged with initiating investigations when warranted and being the overall champion of worker rights. When it comes to age discrimination, however, the EEOC is struggling to keep up and bear down. An analysis by the Washington Post found that of the 205,355 age discrimination complaints that were filed with the EEOC from 2010 to 2017, just 1% resulted in finding of discrimination. And according to the EEOC's own data, it brought only 10 age discrimination lawsuits in 2018, compared with 84 disability and 41 sexual harassment cases. Kathy Ventrell Monsees is an attorney and senior advisor at the EEOC. She acknowledges the numbers, but explains that the EEOC is trying to be strategic. This means emphasizing tools such as mediation and settlements and bringing to court only those cases with the greatest potential impact. For example, hiring is a big priority for us right now, she explains. Our researchers are looking at hiring at online hiring systems and algorithms that can incorporate biases in the job selection criteria. But critics of the EEOC say there is more at work than strategy. An investigation by the online publication Vox, V-O-X, found a critical lack of resources at the EEOC. It has a smaller budget today than it did back in 1980, adjusted for inflation, and 42% less staff, the article stated. And at the same time, the country's labor force increased about 50%, to 160 million. The EEOC, in short, can't come close to fulfilling the mission Congress gave it. Ventrell Monsees concedes AIDS discrimination issues have become more visible as older workers remain in the workforce longer, but counters that the EEOC has significantly elevated the attention the agency gives to age discrimination issues, such as issuing the report cited at the beginning of this story. While the EEOC is to be applauded for these efforts, many still see great room for improvement. Gary Gilbert, a former EEOC chief administrative judge who now heads Gilbert Employment Law in Silver Spring, Maryland, notes, "The commission is just not appreciating the degree of societal bias we have against older workers at this time. That bias can even be found within the federal government, which is the largest employer in the U.S., with roughly 4.2 million workers, including uniformed military and postal employees. For example, it encourages discrimination with its mandatory retirement ages for many classes of employees. Federally employed law enforcement officers must retire at 57, and air traffic controllers at 56, for instance. The assumption is that the needed skills depart at those ages. In fact, in many cases, there is no science to support such specificity. These age limits are largely arbitrary. Such regulations were designed to meet the need for, and I quote from the law, a young and vigorous workforce," says John Grobe, president of Federal Career Experts, a consulting firm that advises government agencies about retirement. But some people might lose a step at 55, and some might still be sharp as a tack when they're 70. AARP Foundation is actively fighting discriminatory practices within the federal government. Last fall, Foundation attorneys filed a Friend of the Court brief in the Supreme Court case Babb v. Wilkie, arguing that the lower court, by requiring an extremely high standard of proof from federal employees making claims based on age discrimination, had not complied with the letter or the spirit of the ADEA. Even a single incidence of age discrimination in government is worrisome, says Dara Smith, senior attorney with AARP Foundation. Private sector employers see that and say, well, if the federal government can get away with it, maybe we can too. While there are certainly companies that discriminate against older workers deliberately, many experts told me that many organizations are simply unaware of their age biases because they're so ingrained in our culture. A 2015 survey by PricewaterhouseCoopers of CEOs in 77 countries found that while 64% had a diversity and inclusion strategy at their company, only 8% of those plans included age. We need to work to bring employer practices in line with both the 21st century and the longevity we've been blessed with, Rupert says. This isn't entirely about us older workers reinventing ourselves, says Patty Temple Rocks, the communications expert who lost her job to a younger coworker. It's also about business reinventing itself to be more welcoming and inclusive. Still, Rupert, Rocks, and other experts we spoke with agree that openness, flexibility, and creativity are needed from employees as well, especially when it comes to the final chapter of our careers. For example, they recommend older workers more openly discuss their future with their employers. For all sorts of reasons, that conversation is not happening now at most companies, Rock says. Employees do not feel comfortable saying, I'm thinking about retiring in X number of years, because that marks them as not being committed. Likewise, employers don't know how to talk about this because they're uncomfortable or afraid of getting you sued. But remember, as with all employees, employers have to do a cost-benefit analysis of older workers, says Jack Kelly, who is founder and CEO of WeRecruiter.io, a social media platform to connect job seekers with recruiters. It's not like they say, hey, Jack, you're an old guy. You're wearing sweaters and slippers. We don't want you around. It's more the convergence of being a certain age and making a certain amount of money. One tactic for avoiding a layoff is to show that you are continuing to create value. If you're bringing in money, they'll keep you around until you're 100, Kelly says. Another strategy, consider phased retirement. It's rare so far, but sensible and on the rise. If a super valuable employee is willing to stay on and contribute their wisdom at 25% less pay and fewer days in the office, it's a win-win situation, Rock says. And of course, stay confident in what you can and do contribute. For example, don't fall for the ageist myths that brought us to this point in the first place, that older workers aren't as sharp as younger workers, that they are less productive and not as reliable, or that they aren't as digitally savvy, and they are more ornery and difficult. Surveys and studies refute all of these myths. Indeed, after examining all the research on this topic, Peter Capelli, a professor of management at the Wharton School of the University of PA, says, every aspect of job performance gets better as we age. I thought the picture might be more mixed, but it isn't. The juxtaposition between the superior performance of older workers and the discrimination against them in the workplace just really makes no sense. Finally, it's time for older workers to fight against ageism a little harder. A lot of us spent years working and raising our families during a period when you didn't make waves concludes Frank Cania of HR Compliance Experts. While others have made their voices heard on important issues like discrimination and harassment, we as older Americans don't appear to have yet found the catalyst for our movement against age discrimination. Our voices need to be heard loud and clear and often. The writer of this article, Joe Keita, has been an investigative journalist, book author, and magazine editor for over 30 years, and he is a frequent contributor to AARP publications. And here is a little side article, Tales from the Courts. These people fought age discrimination, but justice can be elusive and incomplete. Jack Gross, The Case, FBL Financial Group. I felt like I was crossing enemy lines whenever I walked into the office. Jack Gross's first name has become synonymous with the difficulty of fighting age discrimination in the workplace. In 2004, Gross, then 55 years old, insurance executive, filed an age discrimination lawsuit against his employer, FBL Financial Group, after he was demoted the previous year. Gross's case was ultimately appealed to the United States Supreme Court. The landmark 2009 decision not only went against him, but established a new legal precedent that makes it much tougher to win than it was under the 1967 ADEA. A decade after the Supreme Court decision, Gross, now 71, still believes he did the right thing, and he continues to advocate on behalf of the proposed Protecting Older Workers Against Discrimination Act, the POWADA, which would reverse the 5-4 Supreme Court decision that bears his name. I have nothing to gain financially at this point, Gross says, but a lot of people are being denied justice. I'd just like to see that changed. This is all the time we have for our program on careers today. I hope that you have enjoyed listening in. Please remember, if you missed a program on Sun Sounds, you can listen to it whenever you want to by getting it on demand. Just go to sunsounds.org and click Broadcast Info and Audio. Thank you for listening. My name is Irene Lubin, and I'm a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. Have a nice day. Thank you.